Tell your ma, tell your pa, gonna send you back to Arkansas. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This Medicare podcast has no excuse, sir. Knock, knock. Who's there? Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is the podcast that actually kind of makes me lazy. I always want to take a nap after I finish doing one of these episodes, probably because Randy works me like a dime store pony, but that's a story for another time. We are coming to you for the purpose of helping you feel comfortable about your transition from Medicare, from Obamacare to Medicare. And we like to throw out facts, figures, and some little interesting tidbits along the way that hopefully will make you feel confident that this is not a time in your life that you have to be concerned about, but it's actually going to improve your financial situation in most cases. If you're paying for regular priced Obamacare health insurance and you're about to turn age 65, or you're about to think about retiring and you are tired of paying big bucks for a high, huge deductible and, having to deal with all the restrictions that might come with an HMO plan, Medicare is just a gift from the heavens made for you. So that's what we're here for. And we, in fact, did a 30-second little radio spot that kind of explains in shorthand. And we don't play that often enough. I often forget to ask Randy to do that. So maybe if we're real quiet, Randy will play that for us right now. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. All righty. That's a very cogent, short explanation of what we're all about here. And when I say we, I'm talking about Randy Carson, my favorite dial twister. Hello, Randy.
Doug, what is up in your Cave Creek area today?
I am kind of depressed today. It was cloudy this morning. It rained this morning. I don't know if you had rain or not. You're 4 miles down the hill
from me. I think we must have got something. It's just going to sound funny, but I didn't hear it. But when I put the dogs out this morning, it smelled like it had rained, if that makes any sense.
That perfect desert smell. I always loved that. I've carried that with me since I used to come out here as a child. And after a little bit of a rain, the whole place smells completely different. Yes. But the thing that's got me bummed out this morning is that the clouds cleared away. The sun is out. It's magnificently beautiful. It's about 61 degrees. That's not right. It's been in the 80s, pushing 90 for the last few weeks. It should not be really cold. So I happened to talk to a woman from Illinois, and by her area code, I knew that she was pretty close to where I live in the summertime in Illinois. And I said, what's the weather like up there today? And she said, well, that's going to be about 82 and it's sunny.
What the heck?
Exactly.
It's
right.
Down here, you know, you're higher up the mountain. You're in the high red district. I'm down here in the valley. I'm at 63 degrees.
Okay. Well, I saw 61 the last time I looked at a thermometer, and I bet it could be 63 right now, but it's never going to be as warm as Illinois apparently today.
Apparently there must be something going on here, because
I'm thinking the earth might be spinning backwards on its axis.
Well, now that you mention that, some scientists decided that they would test a variety of things. And now I'm not a scientist or anything about this, nor do I play one on television, but they're claiming that the earth, because of the shift of the water from point A to point B on the earth, it's actually spinning a little bit out of axis now.
Really? And that's different for, you know, how long now?
They think that's been going on for, you know, several years, but they just discovered it now. And apparently they decided to bring it to our attention just in case you feel a little off balance.
Well, I always feel a little off balance when I have a couple of drinks and that fixes it. But I have heard for years that one day we should expect to have the North and South Poles swap.
Yes, and it's happened, not yet, but it's happened several times over the millennia.
Right.
And that will be a really, really strange situation.
Our compasses will all read incorrectly, but I don't know what other...
Everything will be honked up. That's a technical term. Honked up.
I know the term. It's a very precise term.
It is.
I'd like to know what else is going to go wrong besides our compasses.
Well, I don't know. Let me do that. Let me do a little bit of snooping around on that.
All right.
But they say, whether you can believe anything anybody says anymore, they say that it's somewhat in the process now.
No kidding. I thought it was just one of the things that would happen overnight. You'd wake up in the morning and, you know, if you tried to go to your kitchen, then all of a sudden you're headed the wrong direction. You walk into a wall or something. And not that I need a compass to get to my kitchen.
Well, I was going
to
say, I've had that problem, but it's got nothing to do with the North Pole.
There you go. Well, you drink a lot of Guinness too, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it all evens out. I need that to, calm down my Irish nerves.
Well, I understand that. Well, I have some good news for me today. I'm not sure it affects your life at all or the other listeners, but basically we have a lot of listeners that we enjoy corresponding with. I mean, it started out with Dominic Regina last year. He is Mr. Friendly and one of my all-time favorites. He gave us those mail bags from his model railroad to make sure to go back to the MLM mailbag and read some correspondence from people. And then had Steve come along probably late last summer, early fall. And Steve is a master at digging up and constructing questions. And he makes me go do research. And then it takes up a couple of episodes every month to answer Steve's very pithy questions. And then we had Becky, who is also, she has sparked some questions in my head that I want to address. But then Steve reappeared, and I think he needed more immediate attention. So some of what I want to talk about is stuff that Steve actually caused to float to the surface. Steve decided that it was close enough to the time that he was going to go on Medicare that it was important to begin to lay the groundwork. And so he's been basically made the decision to become my client. And I love my clients. So my attitude towards Steve changed from pretending to be pestered by his nosy questions about Medicare to actually saying, okay, now you're joining the club and you'll be welcomed into the inner sanctum once you have become my client. And so he and I have been going back and forth. What's this form for? And why do I have to do this and that and everything? And I try to make it simple, but he's a curious guy and he, you know, puts the brakes on every once in a while, wonders what's going on. So I was asking Steve to fill out some forms. And one thing that he hasn't finished yet, he's got Medicare Part A, but he does not yet have Medicare Part B. And mostly my clients have solved that problem. They've crossed that bridge before they and I get into serious conversations about their Medicare supplement coverage and their Part D drug plan coverage. And so it always surprises me when somebody hasn't finished the process of enrolling in Medicare Part A and or Part B. So Steve does not yet have Medicare Part B, and that's a rule. That's a thing that has to be accomplished before you can get a Medicare supplement. So we've got plenty of time. We're not up against it. And I don't remember now what Steve told me he did, but he did something. I thought we were just going to be waiting for his Medicare enrollment to be confirmed by the feds. What they do is they ask you to start one of these My Medicare accounts where you'd have a password and a username. And a lot of people do it. Some people don't do it. It's not really that big a deal. I mean, some people like to watch what the government's up to. And if they are claims, they allow you to look at your claims. And if you find something you don't like, you can bitch and complain or whatever. But, you know, there's really no compelling reason that you have to do it. But if you have one of those accounts, then you will know what your Medicare identification number is, your Medicare identifier, and what your start date. You'll have all the confirmation show up earlier on your account than it will in your mailbox. And so if you're waiting to do the next step in your application for Medicare Supplement or Medicare Part D plan, then it shows up faster. All the important proof you need that you are now qualified and ready to begin Medicare will show up faster online than it will if you wait for it to arrive in the mail. And especially this year, mail service seems to be deteriorating. It's almost like they're taking lessons from Canada. My sister has lived in Canada for a whole bunch of years, and frankly, she has never ceased to tell me that the Canadian mail system may be among the worst in the world. So Steve, this morning I woke up, had sent me two emails. And one of those emails basically was saying that he had some correspondence with the Social Security Administration. And now the Social Security Administration is the branch of the government that administers Medicare. Back when the Democrats managed to ram it through Congress back in the 1960s, they assigned the Social Security Administration to administer Medicare. And so they went out and hired a whole bunch more people and set up their own little insurance company right there in the District of Columbia. So they are the people you're corresponding with when you apply for your Social Security benefits and when you apply for Medicare. But you don't have to do both at the same time. They're basically unrelated. So this morning I get an email from Steve who said, I got a response from the Social Security Administration, but to me, it's a bit ambiguous. It said my request for Social Security was approved, but it doesn't say when it will start. Now, of course, I'm a Medicare guy, not a Social Security guy. So that made me wonder why it was even mentioned. Then Steve went on to say, I requested that it start August 2021, which may actually mean it starts in September. However, in the email, and when I go online to the Social Security Administration, it doesn't have that information either. Then they attach some forms for me to sign up for Medicare. Again, I don't see where I tell them when I want it to start. What is a Social Security claim number and a beneficiary identification code? What are those two things? And then he told me he used the wording that they used. And then he sent me a second email and he actually attached the forms so that I could see for myself. And he did say, I'm going to forward what I received to you. You tell me if you can make any sense out of it. I realize that part of this is for Social Security and Medicare is not Medicare and not Social Security is your thing. I'm thinking I may need to call these people. So then he sent another message where he forwarded the message he got, the email with the attached forms from the lady at the Social Security Administration. Her name is Corinne. And she has a phone number and she tells you which option to choose when you get the automated, recording. And then she has a 5-digit extension and then a whole bunch of initials. I don't know what the heck all this stuff is. And she has her email address. I think because of these connection methods that were very prominently displayed on her email to Steve, that she is basically inviting Steve to call her. And so then I looked at the two forms that were attached, and one of the forms was very, very familiar with me, there to me. And so I composed an answer to Steve that kind of went like this. And of course, you'd think I'd have it handy, wouldn't you? And of course, I don't have it handy. So I'll have to do it off the top of my head. I said, Steve, those two forms are, they make perfect sense for people signing up for Part B of Medicare. The first form is an application for Medicare for people who want to enroll in Medicare Part B, because I think Steve already has Medicare Part A. So anyway, It's 4 pages long. But the part that he has to be concerned with, the part where he puts his name, his mailing address, and his phone number, and his signature attesting that he's the guy, is 1/3 of 1 page, maybe 1/4 of 1 page. And the rest of it is all instructions in really tiny print. And it tells him a lot of stuff that he probably doesn't need to know about. And so the Medicare Part B application, actually, it's almost a half of 1 page when you consider the fact that if he signs with an X, then there is a place for a witness to actually sign on his behalf and give the address and any remarks that witness might want to say about Steve's signing with an X. And so anyway, the other form is a form number CMS L564. This is a request for employment information, and it tells the Social Security Administration that Steve was actively at work and was a participant in the employer's medical plan. So he will not have a gap in coverage if he takes this form to his employer and has the employer fill it out, basically the HR people at a company. And I'm sure they see these every day. So they fill out all these questions, Steve's identity, where he lives and all that stuff. And then the for employer group health plans, it has a bunch of questions about when did Steve enter the plan? When did he end his participation in the plan? And stuff like that. So then they sign it. Well, the new thing about this is that ever since the virus took over sanity and we've been panicking, they dropped the rule for the employer to actually sign it. So now the employee can fill out this request for employment information form. And, you know, I guess nobody has to sign it. That's what I've heard several times earlier in this year. They've liberalized their rules. So you don't have to sit around and wait for your employer to accept the form, sign it, and give it back to you. You can just send it in to Social Security Administration with the information they request. And you would think that the employer would get a longer form, but this one's only 3 pages long, 1 page of things you have to answer and 2 pages of instructions in little small print. So I told Steve basically that I thought he was on the right track. First of all, he's got the correspondence from the woman at the Social Security Administration who makes it look like it's really easy to contact her by telephone. She has her phone number. She has, here's how you deal with the recording when you get it, when you call in. And then she also had her email address. And basically, she sent 2 forms that had to do with enrolling in Medicare Part B. So I think Steve is on the right track, and he didn't really know it. Now, I sent him that in an email. I'm hoping that he will respond to me once he calls and gets the specific instructions about how to speed up his Part B application. But I'd like to think that what was confusing to Steve is now going to be understandable. I'd like to think that anyway. So that is basically my thought about people wanting to enroll in Part B. The important takeaways are read the forms and they will tell you what they're for. You don't need to have the employment information form signed by your employer anymore, at least during the panic is what I've been told. And if you can, if you're offered the opportunity, then contact the people directly at the Social Security Administration. This woman's telephone number and everything were in bright red on the bottom of her email. So I think she was telling Steve, yes, by all means, call me and I can walk you through the process. At least I'm hoping that's the way it works out. So we will probably have Steve as our most favored member after his coverages get approved, because then he's going to become a valued client of the Medicare for the Lazy Man insurance organization. So that Randy has no idea that I'm talking about him because he's got the eyeballs painted on his glasses again. I wish you wouldn't wear those.
Doesn't that work well?
It works so well that even though I know what's going on, I keep forgetting.
So I've got a little personal story I'd like to share before the crickets hit. We've got about 33 seconds before the crickets hit. So I'd
like to have one short story for you.
Once upon a time, and that was the story. No, I'm just teasing. But anyway, it does have to do with Medicare.
Okay.
Medicare Part D, which stands for drugs.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones has described this very well multiple times, but I just wanted to let the audience know that it's very important to pay attention to what Mr. Jones has to say when picking a drug plan. For example, those of you who may know, I spent 2 weeks in the infectious ward resort with the Wuhan flu earlier this year. And
without even knowing where you were, they kept asking you if you knew where you were. I don't know.
One of the things we have to ask you, sir, is, do you know where you are? I have no idea. I eventually discovered it by using the GPS on my iPhone. I was in the midst of COVID brain, which is the oddest thing I've ever experienced. But having said that, I came out of that experience with my lungs not fully healed and pretty much trashed for a while until they heal. And one of the things that my pulmonologist has prescribed for me is this inhaler.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, I wish I would have known this when I picked my drug plan this year.
Oh, boy.
This one right here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an alternative, but I just wanted to let you folks know that I have to go through about two of these. You get 30 squirts out of each one, and I need 4 squirts a day.
Oh, boy.
So, and each one of these, $500.
Holy moly. And the drug plan that we chose for you, based on what you were taking at the time.
That's right.
Did not cover this one.
No, yeah. And believe me, folks, this was nothing that Doug or I or anybody else could have predicted. But if you sit down and look through your drug list, make sure you pick a drug plan that matches up well.
Here's the other thing. You can always talk to me. I've got a little one-page sheet that you can fill out with all your prescriptions and where you like to get them filled. And then I will find the cheapest drug plan available to you. But we did that with Randy. He basically said, I'm taking this stuff and I like to go to this drugstore. Actually, what he said was, I like to send my people to this drugstore.
And my people get my drugs.
Yes. You wouldn't soil your hands with that duty, I'm sure. But the whole thing is, we picked out of 35 plans that were available to Randy, we picked out the one that was the least costly in terms of insurance cost plus copays on the drugs. And that was fantastic. Going forward for the following year, 2021, Randy had a really aggressively priced plan that wasn't going to cost him much money out of pocket. Then the Wuhan flu hit him and his lungs got screwed up and need help recovering. And his inhaler is not on the that particular drug plan's formulary list. So he's got to pay 100% retail for it. Now, the one thing you may remember, a couple of episodes we did last year wherein I slammed all drug discount cards as being, you know, the spawns of Satan. And because I was reading an article from some guy who said, watch out. And then I was severely chastised by Mrs. Jones, and I had to do another episode wherein I apologize for being wrong. And I recounted a couple of her good experiences with good RX. And I've since heard other people say the same thing. So I don't know if that's going to be a helpful possibility for you, but.
Well, it is not on this particular drug, but there's another drug I have, another inhaler. That's
looks the same, but it's a different color.
It's basically you're just your standard albuterol sulfate inhaler. When we ordered that up from, I don't know where it goes, CVS.
Wherever your people go to get things.
Wherever my people go to get such things. It was $52 a pop.
A little more reasonable.
Not bad, but then we got, you know, we took Doug's advice and we went and signed up for this Good RX or something similar. And I think that's the one. And all of a sudden, magically, that became $26.
Yeah.
So anything Doug tells you, even though it doesn't sound like it could possibly be true, definitely track it out because he knows what he's doing. This one here, I'm looking for an alternative. I'm looking for an alternative.
The thing is, they look the same, but they're different colors, and that accounts for $450 of cost difference.
And this, so I'm just going to take this particular one and hang it on my wall because that's as far as it's going in this house for $500 a pop.
Find some junkie on the street that's got a breathing problem and sell what's left over to him.
Yeah, actually, that's right. But anyway, that's I just wanted to share a little bit of personal experience because it matches very well with what Doug tells you every day of the week. And I ran up against the wall myself personally, but it had nothing to do with the fact that I was on the wrong drug plan picked by Doug. It had everything to do with the fact that my drug prescriptions changed.
Yes, and you are not offered the opportunity to change your drug plan until the end of the year.
That's
kind of
right.
Stuck with the plan, and that's the same complaint that a lot of people that have Medicare Advantage plans run into. If they wind up needing medical treatment that they couldn't have anticipated, then they might find out they're in the wrong Medicare Advantage plan, and they are not able to change until the end of the year. So,
yep. It's just so anyway. That's my story for today. I just wanted to convey that to the folks that. It aligns very well with what Doug teaches you all the time. Pay attention to what he says because he's got his together.
Well, in that case, it was Mrs. Jones that set me on the right path. So Good RX, I'm told by a lot of people, is very helpful in the cases of drugs that might be a little too expensive and might not be covered by the plan, the drug plan that you have. So, anyway, I suppose we should wrap this thing up. And
we need to land the plane, Doug.
Okay, let's land that plane and do all the things we do preparatory to landing the plane.
Yep. And the other thing I'd like to mention to you is, folks, we thoroughly appreciate you joining us every time. Without you, it wouldn't be any fun. It would just be Doug and I staring at each other, talking to one another, which we do a lot. We do a lot, but it's usually over a Guinness.
Yes, and it's more fun to have you all join us.
Yes, it is. So. And thank you for doing that. In the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And
yeehaw.
He is the sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
I am, and I wish you adieu.